Are you ready? 2 Corinthians. Let's get started. Chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Are you there? For he, talking about Father God, has made him Jesus. For Father God has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. How many know Jesus never knew sin? That we, everybody say me, we might be made, recreated, regened, the righteousness of God in him Jesus. Through your faith in Jesus as the Savior, through your faith in that He was crucified for your sin, when He was buried and rose from the dead, as we believe on His resurrection and accept Him as Lord and Savior, we also are resurrected from the dead, and God recreates our spirit man righteous. You have been recreated spiritually, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not who you used to be. You are now a new person. We understand this, that we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we possess a soul. Amen? It's vital we understand that this body we live in and the soul that it's going through is not us. It's merely our container. It's merely our calculator. It's merely our interface with this natural world. But the real you is a spirit being. Amen. And you as spirit being have been recreated without sin. It says in 1 Peter that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. You were born again by seed that is pure. Seed that is without fault, without flaw. Seed that actually has the program of holiness in it. The same word of God that birthed Jesus into this world is the same word of God that births us into this world recreated righteous. Amen? And now you've been remade without a sin nature. Now again, for the sake of those listening by CD, we understand you will sin again. Amen? Because your soul still knows how to sin. Your soul's been programmed many times under pressure to flee to sin or to respond in sinful fashion. Amen? Usually on your best days, you aren't bringing forth a whole lot of profanity. Amen? Usually on your best days, you're not, cussing anybody out. You're not throwing a fit. You're not eating everything in sight. But under pressure, many times the soul reverts back to prior programming and responds in sinful fashion. But understand, that is not you. Those are just bugs in your computer. Amen. Those are just computer viruses that you picked up along the way through life that have a time-release component in it. When you get under pressure, they come forth. And we have to be those that recognize when we make mistakes, when we don't follow through with what we know we're supposed to do, that that's not us doing it. It's wrong programming. Amen. And we have a right to say, God, that wasn't me. Forgive me that transgression, and I step back into my position of right standing with you, righteous as revelation that you've given me, and I get to walk without a sin mentality and without condemnation. Now, I've been seeking God this week what to bring, what message to bring, and over the past week or two, we've had just a rise in people fighting oppression, fighting anxiety. So understand, everybody repeat after me, it's not just me. There's been a run of people fighting spiritual attack. And primarily that deals with anxiety, that deals with worry, that deals with a spirit of rejection or spirit of failure. And you need to understand, that's the enemy trying to pull you down. He's trying to come against you, Mr. and Mrs. Righteous, and convince you that you're less than a victor. Convince you less that you're less than in right standing with God. And when you entertain oppression, when you entertain worry, when you entertain sin mentality, that you're reflecting on your mistakes, you're reflecting on your flaws, you're reflecting on your shortcomings. When you entertain that, Condemnation will be the natural result. I tell you, the devil doesn't play fair. Amen. What he does, he always comes around and he slaps God's children. Amen. Slaps you upside the head. He brings oppression, brings attack. And so you respond in a, how can I say, sometimes less than holy manner or less than perfect fashion. Amen. Maybe you decide to throw a little fit or you just pout or, you know, you go off on somebody or you spend more money than you should have, or you just decide you're going to go to bed and put your head over the blankets. Later you realize that wasn't God. It all started with the devil slapping you. And then when you respond in a negative fashion, then the devil says, and now God's upset at you. Then he says, who are you to think you can come before God? Who are you to think that you're worthy to worship God? Who are you to think that you're worthy to sing before God? Who are you to think that even God wants to see you worship Him? Amen. To try to keep you in a place of defeat. Condemnation is the pressure the enemy brings to shove us into a place of defeat mentality. Do you follow me on that? If he can get you to believe that somehow you've let God down, somehow God is disappointed in you, or somehow you failed God again. How many know it's always again? You did it again. Amen? You did it again. And here comes the enemy saying, you're always letting God down. You've fallen short of the glory. What makes you think God's ever going to be pleased with you? I tell you, this week I've had more failures than I've had in some time. I've been off of sugar for several months, bringing my weight down over time. And over about the, really with Thanksgiving, I'll eat a little bit of cake or a little bit of pie or whatever. Well, maybe another piece of pie won't hurt. And then I'll feel lousy. Not condemned as much as just the sugar making you feel crummy, you know? And I say, God, I'm sorry about that. I'm just sorry. Amen. Please don't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't take my church away from me. Praise God. You know how it goes. I didn't go through all that, but that, you know, the direction it always takes you. And I repent, and next thing you know, I forget about it. And all of a sudden, Patty brings home a whole case of Hostess products. It's like Eve with the apple, you know. They're on the counter. And I know she won't eat bear claws and honey buns. And you can't let them go bad. They're Hostess. You know, they're now an extinct product. You have to save them. So I find myself getting up for breakfast and eating a bear claw. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Got a whole bag of turnips there and you eat a bear claw. Turnip, bear claw. Now you know how I got to that point, don't you? I'd probably prefer the turnip. The bear claw is just easier. I don't have to peel a bear claw. And so I eat that dessert and I repent, oh God. And then I feel lousy. I feel, oh God. Praise God. I thank you've delivered me from sugar addiction. Amen. I thank you for healing power and I'll repent. And next thing of today, I did it again. I brought Patty home Tuesday night a piece of chocolate chip chocolate cake. Huge piece of cake. She takes 3 bites of it and leaves the rest for me. I said, I don't want it. It's set on the counter since Tuesday night. This afternoon I got hungry. There's a piece of cake. I'll eat the cake. I ate the cake and all of a sudden I'm like, why'd I eat that cake? I forgot. I'm off of sugar again. It's like the brain rewires itself to conveniently forget what you had repented from 24 hours before. And of course, when you do that, understand the feeling yucky you can get through. The feeling, you know, the feeling that you let God down is another thing. When you make mistakes like that, understand that's a minor mistake. Amen. It's just where I'm trying to lose weight, trying to get sugar out of my system because I don't feel good under it. Amen. I don't feel my clearest mentally under it. So I'm trying to get it out of my system. And then I backslide and eat it again. And you had to fight condemnation over that. But the stuff we do that's way beyond that, how many know you fight condemnation majorly over those things? Where you speak the wrong words, you know, with the wrong attitude. Or you respond in ways that, you know, the world would call sinful. You'll fight major condemnation over that. And it's so good to know that we serve a God that, through His blood, redeemed us from sin. Now understand, we're not excusing intentional high levels of knowledgeable sin. Amen? But when you make a mistake, it says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen, 1 John chapter 1. Isn't that good news? And you have a right. See, here you are in a position, you've been walking, you've been doing okay, but then you make that mistake. You listen to the wrong person, you say the wrong thing, whatever it might be. You make that mistake and you realize, there's a yuck on me. I don't feel as condemnation-free as I should feel. I don't feel as liberated as I should feel. I don't feel as anointed as I should feel. And you have to come to the realization that He purchased your sin, gave you righteousness, and you have a right to consciously say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And step out of that place of entertaining the enemy. Turn back and say, see you by devil, you can't go where I'm going.
Right.
You have a right to say, you're not on the same path I'm going on.
Yes.
So Satan, you stay back there with your condemnation. I'm going forward into the liberty that Christ has made me free with. I'm going forward into the revelation of my righteousness that I'm not a sinner anymore. Amen. And I refuse to fight condemnation over it. Has any of you ever had a computer that had a virus on it? Probably everybody here, for the most part. If you've had a computer very long, you've had a virus on it. I've had them, you know, attack hard drives. I've had them shut things down. I've had them wipe out a whole areas of my, you know, memory sectors. And how many of you, when here's your computer, it gets a virus. You didn't invite it in. You didn't go to the wrong websites. Somehow it just attached to something and it's on your computer. Causing, how can I say, disarray, even the inability to use it properly. And how many of you, when you saw the virus on your computer, said, I feel so bad. My computer has a virus. I just don't feel worthy that I can come before God anymore. I just don't feel like I'm worthy to come to church because my computer has a virus. I don't feel like I can pray anymore. I don't even feel like I can ask God for anything anymore because my computer has a virus. How many would ever consider that? It's ludicrous, isn't it? I mean, to think that you can't pray anymore because there's a computer virus on your PC, on your laptop or whatever. Is that not ludicrous? But recognize your soul is your computer. And when the enemy attacks it with a virus that causes you to act in wrong ways, that's not you. Do you follow me? That's old sin mentality you were programmed with. The enemy wants to resurrect memories of your old man or the mistakes you've made or always cause you to dwell on your mistakes. The enemy's trying to convince you that because there's a virus on your hard drive, you can't come before God. Just because there's a flaw in your programming that now God's finished with you. You've got to start recognizing you have a right to step out as spirit man and leave behind connection to that flesh and that soul and step into your liberty. So I want you to learn how to do this. Here you are fighting condemnation, and we have all done it, and we'll do it again. Amen. There's not a person here who will not fight condemnation again in the future, like somehow you made this big mistake that has blown everything, or just, you know, limited you for the moment. Fell asleep in prayer, broke the fast, didn't get enough word time in, whatever the devil attacks you with. And we've got to be those who can look at this situation we're in, where we're fighting the oppression, there's a cloud over our heads, and be willing to say, wait a minute. I am a triune being. I am a spirit, I live in a body, and I possess a soul. So me spirit man, who were made without sin, rebirth without sin, who was reborn into a kingdom without limitation, that has full rights to the anointing, to the glory, to the power of God, to the wisdom of God, I step away from those other two parts of me. I step out and I separate myself in the mentality, I am a spirit being. See, I would never condemn anybody because, you know, they were carrying an old laptop. For one thing, I've had so many of them. You're walking down the street, you got a rugged looking old laptop case. Inside is a 15-year-old laptop. Amen. You got to hook it up with 14 wires to use it. About got to have wheels on the suitcase to carry it. I mean, antique stuff. And you say, what a loser. Look at that laptop they have. What a horrible looking case they have it in. You'd never do that. Do you follow me? But yet, that case could be compared to our physical body. That laptop would be our soul, mind, will, and emotions. Amen. We don't judge people based on the computer they carry. We judge them based on who they really are. And each of us have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are not who you used to be. And you must learn to practice stepping out of that limited person. Amen. You learn how to step into the liberty of righteousness. The liberty of being condemnation and sin mentality free. You get a hold of who you are, you won't fight fear over sin anymore. You won't fight fear over falling anymore. You won't fight fear that God's done with you or you're missing out on the call anymore. Because you're stepping into the revelation of God made you more than a conqueror. You step into it forcefully. See, when we talk about righteousness, and we talk about it in here quite often, we're telling you that God made you a new species of being. When you got saved, you became a new species of being that did not exist prior to the cross. You are now a born-again Christian. Amen. A human endowed with the very nature of God. God birthed love on the inside of each of us when we were saved. Amen? And we've got to get a hold of that revelation. I'm not who I used to be. And as we do that, we'll step into the liberty of that revelation. We'll step into the place we do not have to entertain condemnation anymore. The reason I'm bringing this message out tonight, I started talking about it a while ago, is we've had many people fighting condemnation and oppression over the past few weeks. And I want you to get a hold of that tonight is my righteousness booster shot, and I'm not carrying it anymore.
Amen.
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 You know what I mean by booster shot, don't you? What it is, it's a righteousness kick in the seat of the pants. If you've ever seen the war movies or, you know, any of the adventure movies, and you've got the one person there that's they're in a dangerous dilemma and one's having the meltdown. And that one's sitting there having just in a panic. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to lose, whatever. And the hero comes up and just slaps him. Says, snap out of it. Amen. Snap out of it. Well, that's what tonight is. I'm not going to slap you. But I'm going to hit you with the word to let you know, don't tolerate it anymore. You will carry as much oppression and as much condemnation as you allow the enemy to place upon you. Do you follow me? Isaiah chapter 54, another verse we're well familiar with. Isaiah 54, verse 14, says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Now let's stop right there for just a second. In righteousness you'll be established. What does established mean? Immovable. set in place, fixed, secure, permanently fastened. When something is established, it is, with regard to time, set in place and will not be moved out of that position again. Do you follow me? And when it says in righteousness you'll be established, what it's talking about is in your revelation of righteousness. Understand, when you got saved, God made you a new creation, made without sin, made with the right to live free of condemnation. But you don't step into that liberty of righteousness without the revelation of that righteousness. I believe all saints that have been born again, of course we know it's true, have been made righteous. Every Christian, even in denominational circles where they've received Jesus Christ as Savior, they've been made righteous. But most don't know it. Most are walking around declaring how they're still sinners saved by grace. How all their righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Amen? All of sin and fall short of the glory of God, how they're falling short. So even though God made them a new creation, even though the resurrection of Jesus Christ birth them again into the kingdom of God without sin in spirit, they still carry the weight and condemnation of sin. They still walk in a sin mentality. And because they walk in a sin mentality, they walk in a failure attitude, they carry the weight, the burden of that condemnation and oppression. Do you follow me on that? But once you get the revelation, once you get the revelation that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, once you get the revelation that God's freed you from sin, once you get the revelation you don't have to carry oppression, worry, anxiety, and condemnation anymore, then you get to willingly and freely step into that liberty. You step into the peace. You step into the joy. Listen, Christians without a righteousness revelation will never walk in any high level of peace, joy, or anointing. Why, how can you walk in joy when you think you're always letting God down? How can you walk in victory when you're still mentally bound to the image of the fallen man that you've always walked in before? Liberty is a result of recognizing what God did at the cross, grabbing a hold of it personally and saying, I'm applying this to my life. Now, you applied it, in fact, in actuality, when you got saved. But you don't step into the liberty of that application until you mentally understand it and forcefully walk into it. Amen. You've got to learn how to grab a hold of what God did and say, I refuse condemnation. I do stand fast, established, immovable in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. And I will no longer be entangled with the yoke of bondage. What yoke of bondage? The yoke of bondage of sin mentality. The yoke of bondage of all the pressure and weights that come on you when you entertain condemnation, when you entertain oppression. We have a right to live oppression free. I remember an image that Pastor Philip used to give all the time of people that carry a condemnation mentality. Way back in the mid-90s when he was getting this revelation of righteousness as it was coming to him. And he always talked about, remember the comic strip Peanuts? And the one that was Pigpen? No matter where Pigpen went, there was a cloud of dirt. I mean, he could walk on marble floors and still have a cloud of dirt swirling all around. He could come out of the shower 3 times, lava soap, step into a perfectly clean house, still have a cloud of dust all around him because he was Pigpen. Always his clothes were all dirty, the cloud was there. That's the person that carries a condemnation mentality. No matter how many times they get in the shower, no matter how many times they try, you know, to live good enough and stay clean enough, they still carry that cloud of failure, condemnation, and the weight of oppression and anxiety with them. We should never have that cloud over our heads. We have a right to say, wait a minute, that cloud follows fallen mentality. That cloud follows that which has been contaminated by computer viruses. that cloud follows a soul that's not yet been fully renewed. So I right now forcefully step into my spirit positioning. How many know you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? In spirit. Your soul and flesh live in this fallen realm, but your spirit man has access to the spirit realm. Amen. And there is no sin in the spirit realm. It's all been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There's no failure in the spirit realm. So when you as spirit men step out mentally and separate yourself from that which has brought condemnation and failure and say, wait a minute, I'm stepping into liberty right now. I refuse to carry this weight and oppression. Oppression away, you stay back there with the fallen mentality. I'm stepping into my newness of mind, you know, my newness of mind set, my new way of thinking, and I'm going to walk free of that pressure and weight. Amen. And watch your life shift into accessing joy. Watch it shift into accessing peace and walking in love. Did you know the times you walk in the least amount of love are the times your computer viruses are kicking up the most? I mean, when you're fighting the most condemnation and pressure and anxiety, that's when you go off on people. I'm talking about when you're in the joy and the peace of God, love flows out of you because your spirit man has free expression to share who God really made you, and love will come forth. But the enemy has to choke down that love. So what's he do? He brings condemnation to hold back the reflection of who God made you. And you got to be willing to step out of that place of limitation. See, we've got to be those that recognize the symptoms of oppression. Anybody here ever been oppressed? Everybody here has been oppressed. Anybody ever felt condemned? We've all felt condemned. And what you've got to do is become an expert at recognizing oppression and condemnation and saying, wait a minute, this doesn't belong to me. Now, we've talked about recognizing gifts of the enemy before. When sickness comes on your body, we've learned, you know, when your nose starts running and you're, you know, feeling nauseated, we say, wait a minute, that doesn't belong to me. Sickness is trying to attach itself to me. Devil, wrong address. I refuse to receive that. Kick it back to where it came from. I'm going to step into the healing power of God. But the same thing is true for oppression and condemnation, because they really open the doors to sickness anyway. They open the doors to defeat anyway. And you got to be willing to recognize the symptoms of oppression. You know, when you come home, you don't feel like doing anything. Don't feel like talking to anybody. You just want to sit on the couch and just be mad. Guess what? That's not you. That's a computer virus. And how many know when you're under that, you don't want to fix it? I'm mad and I'm just going to be mad. I'm choosing to be mad. I'm mad now. Don't even mess with me. I'm going to be mad until I don't want to be mad anymore. How many know you're not expressing a whole lot of love at that time? Amen. How many know nobody can fix you of mad? You're mad, your spouse comes along or your family or whatever and says, we love you, won't you snap out? I don't want to snap out of it. I'm mad, I got a reason to be mad. Nobody can fix you. Amen. They may laugh at you. They may rebuke you. Amen, but they can't fix you. They can pray for you, which will go a long way. But you've got to choose to get rid of that attitude. Amen. And to get rid of it, you have to recognize it doesn't belong to you. You have to recognize that God didn't create you for that. That's an attack of the enemy. You got to hate losing. You got to hate the enemy winning over you. I don't only not like losing. I don't like being behind. Amen. I like being ahead the whole game, the whole time. If I'm rooting for a team, I want them to be ahead the whole time. Yeah, I like dominating teams. Dominating victories. Amen. God wants you to dominate. And you got to get to the point when you feel those symptoms of oppression, you say, wait a minute, I've got an enemy trying to dominate me. Now see, I know most of you. I know me. Nobody's going to get in our faces and chew us out without some type of expression of a form of defense coming forth in return. Amen? Nobody's going to get in your face and cuss you out, chew you out, and say, well, I know I just deserve that. I'm telling you what, something's going to rise up and say, in Jesus' name, get thee behind me, or I'll take you out behind the building, you know. You can't do that, but amen, you can say, get behind me, Satan. You're not going to tolerate it. Unless Jesus tells you, just suck it up, shut up, let me take care of it. But then you're still winning because you know God's going to take care of it. So you don't like people getting in your face. That's what condemnation is. It's the devil getting in your face. That's what oppression is. He's jumping on top of your head and saying, God's doing it. God's upset at you. Amen. You need to just quit. You need to lie down. You need to just, you know, go through a pity party. And I'm telling you what, you don't get victory in that. The way you get victory over the attacks of the enemy is you step into your righteousness. You step into your position of liberty through understanding your righteousness, and you express that God has set you free. Is anybody following me? You got to step into it forcefully. See, understand, it doesn't matter how much scripture you know. It doesn't matter how many verses you can quote. It doesn't matter whether you're in church one time a week or three times a week. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you sow, you know, 90% of your paycheck or just tithe. That does not affect how righteous you are. Did you follow me? Either you are 100% righteous or you're not going to heaven. Did you follow me? So there's nothing of your own, how can I say, spirituality that you can activate of your own that's going to increase your righteousness. When you got saved, you're as righteous as you're ever going to be. Did you follow me? The day you received Jesus, He made you 100% righteous. You're more pure than ivory soap. And of course, only the older people know what I'm talking about. But they always advertise ivory soap as being 99.44% pure. 99.44%, you know, 44.100%. Very accurate. Amen. Almost 99.5% pure. That's not good enough to get into heaven. There'll be no ivory soap in heaven. Can't make it, not pure enough. But you, through receiving the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power of God in your life, were made 100% pure. And the enemy is working overtime to try to convince you, you are not pure enough. You will never be more pure than you were the day you got saved. And if you're saved before you go, you know, before you go to heaven, if you're saved for 80 years, and you go to heaven after 80 years of applying yourself every day to the Word and God in prayer, you still won't be any more righteous than you were the day you got saved. You might be more anointed. You might walk in more authority. You'll probably receive greater rewards, but you'll not be more righteous. And you'll not have a right to walk condemnation free more after 80 years than when you first got saved the day you got saved. Because the rights that you have in the kingdom are tied to your righteousness. Let me dwell on that for just a few minutes. When you got saved, God made you righteous. He adopted you into His family and gave you 100% full rights to every blessing of the kingdom. The day you got saved, you had full rights to 100% healing. You had full rights to 100% hundredfold prosperity. You had full rights to every blessing and promise the Word of God has to offer. Amen. And your works will not alter that. But what your application does is determines how much of it you will step into. Amen. The word righteousness, we read it in Scripture, we should usually interpret it right standing with God. When you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you were put in right standing with God. God sees you without sin. Amen. And many would say, well, He sees us without sin because of the blood. No, He sees you without sin because you are without sin. Let me bring that forth again. God sees you without sin, not because of the blood's application to your life, as much as you were made without sin. Now, what the blood does, it washes away the residual effect of sin on your life. You follow me? It washes away any penalty of sin you might have to encounter. But when you were born again, you were made without sin. Amen. And God looks at you based on spirit man. Amen. Not based on soul. When I first got saved, I knew nothing about the Word of God. I knew nothing about the kingdom of God. I knew nothing about righteousness. I knew nothing about victory. All I knew was Jesus Christ was real. I asked Him to be my Savior. Had I stepped out of the church that night and got hit by a truck, I would have went straight to heaven. Why? Because, and understand, I still had a lot of sin mentality. My wife, my goodness, sin mentality. Just kidding. Had she got hit by a truck, we'd have both ended up in heaven. You follow me? Even though at the time, we knew nothing about walking holy. Nothing about walking in a sin-free lifestyle. We had to learn it. But yet God saw us as righteous that day as He does today. Why? Because our spirit man was made without sin by incorruptible seed. And God's not looking at you based on your soul. He's not looking at you based on your flesh. Unless you decide to walk away from the things of God, you decide to rebel against the kingdom of God knowledgeably and turn your back. Amen. Then you spirit man are not stepping forth into the victory you're supposed to have. We have a right to come before God without any condemnation or sin mentality whatsoever. Did you follow me? So, God looks at you as not having sin because He made you without sin. Did you follow me on that? And He's not judging you for the computer that you're walking around with, or the condition of the case the computer is in. He's looking at you as spirit man, the real you. But you have to forcefully, intentionally get a hold of that revelation. You have to guard it. You have to learn how to tell the devil, no, I refuse to let go of my righteousness. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go on through the rest of this verse. Verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. Far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. You shall be far from oppression. Now listen. In righteousness, revelation, you'll be established. And far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Not just because you got saved, but because you got the revelation of it. Understand, when you got saved, you were made righteous. Have you ever seen an oppressed Christian? It can't be that just because you're saved and made righteous, you're far from oppression. Do you follow me? Otherwise, we'd all automatically walk free of condemnation. We'd walk free of fear. We'd walk free of, anxiety. But the only way you get a hold of what God promises is by faith. Every blessing of God is accessed by faith. So the way you walk in a place of being free of oppression, anybody want to be free of oppression? Is you got to develop your faith in your righteousness. You got to develop your faith in that God made you a new creation. You're not who you used to be. God didn't make you a failure. He made you a success. He didn't make you defeated. He made you a victor, a conqueror. And you have to take time. We have the righteousness confession cards back there. Speak those into your life until you get to the revelation that you are not who you used to be. So that when oppression comes your way, you then have a faith connection to your righteousness revelation, and you can use it then to resist the condemnation. So you can tell people that don't know their righteousness. When you have somebody that doesn't know their righteousness and they're fighting oppression, and maybe they know they have a right not to have it, but they don't know who they are. So they're saying, oh God, please take oppression off of me. Oh, oppression. You just can't stay. Oh, oppression. Please leave oppression. Oh God. And they don't have the revelation of who they are. When you have the revelation of righteousness, you're not whining and crying. Amen. Your jaw gets set and says, oppression, you don't belong to me. Amen. I refuse you access. Now I step freely into the peace wherewith, you know, God has established me in liberty. I step into that place of righteousness revelation. I step into that place of total freedom from worry and fear and anxiety and failure mentality. Oh, hallelujah. I step in that place of freedom from fear of judgment. You know, a lot of times we have saints that are afraid of what other people think. Well, what do other Christians think of me? What's my family think of me? What do other even pastors think of me? And you know what? If you recognize you're the righteousness of God of Christ Jesus, and God has judged you holy, He's judged you perfect, then what would it matter what somebody else thought? Do you follow me on that? What does it matter what somebody else thinks if God sees you perfect? Oh, you may still be, you know, a quirky type person. You may be a person that's not good in social surroundings. You may be a person that stumbles at times, but God sees you righteous. And you got to have the mentality, if God sees me righteous, then anybody else that judges me is judging me improperly. If they're judging me in any way in a negative fashion, they're judging the blood as being ineffective in my life. I believe that's one of the reasons Jesus said, don't judge. The same measure you meet, the same judgment you send forth, it'll be reckoned back to you again. So if you're judging other people as if the blood didn't do a good enough job in their life or the resurrection didn't do a good enough job in their life making them righteous, and you're seeing them less than righteous, then you're saying the resurrection didn't work in their life fully enough, and what you're saying is it must not have worked fully enough in my life. And you come under similar judgment. Can't afford that. Amen. So, we are far from oppression because we're established in righteousness. But it says, you shall not fear. You have to refuse fear. Now, so many times we think of fear as that adrenaline, you know, adrenaline hit you and whoo, somebody does that, you know. She goes, right. You know, when the thing goes bump in the night and your heart jumps and you have that fear on you. Amen. Fear is any type of worry or concern that the blessing of God will not manifest in your life. Do you follow me? Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the concern that somehow blessing cannot access your life. Amen. Which is what condemnation always tells you. Condemnation always tells you that somehow because of the mistake you made, or because of the lack of following through with something you felt like you should have done, because of that, somehow blessing can't reach you anymore. Amen. And so you fret over it. First of all, if you miss God on something, and you can miss sowing a seed and miss out on the blessing. Did you follow me? If you don't tithe, you're going to miss out on the blessing. You don't sow the seed God tells you, you're going to miss out on the blessing. But all those things can be repented of, get back in motion, and see blessings flow into your life fully. And so what you've got to do is not just be concerned about fear being that which caused an adrenaline rush. Well, I'm just afraid, you know, to go out at night. I'm afraid to drive on the interstate. I'm afraid of, you know, going in certain places, you know, certain things. That's one type of fear. But another type of fear is, well, I guess I better stock up on cold medicines because it's cold and flu season. I better get my flu shot because it's flu season. Another type of fear is, you know, I better not spend any money because, you know, I'm going to need it for the hard times. I can't afford to tithe because I need it, you know, to pay the bills or whatever. Those are aspects of fear. And if you get the revelation of righteousness and you know that God's on your side and you know His blessings flow freely in your life, you will not entertain fear. Another type of fear is, you know, you're afraid to shake hands with people because there may be diseases out there. You know, food isn't handled in a certain fashion. You're afraid of it because, you know, could have a bug on it. If I drop food, I'll intentionally pick it up, throw it in my mouth and say, "Fear, shut up." People think I'm being gross. I'm refusing fear. I don't care. When I was a kid, I ate dirt. What's old dust gets on your, you know, on your grape or your raisin or whatever, you know? I refuse, to the best of my ability, to walk in that kind of fear. Now listen, if the banana pudding has fuzz growing on it, I'm not eating it. I don't drink milk past the expiration date, if at all possible, because I don't like the taste of it. But I'm not afraid of dropping over dead. Are you following me? And we have to recognize any area we're afraid of aspects of the curse coming into our life is fear. That we're concerned about the curse coming in. We've got to bind it up and say, "No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm far from oppression because I refuse fear." Because where you entertain fear, you open the door to oppression. And where oppression comes in, it always has condemnation coming in with it. We're far from oppression because we refuse fear. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things." In other words, he gives us a filter of what's acceptable to think about. Is it true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, full of virtue and praise? Is it all good? Then he says, you can think on these things. If it falls outside of that set of filters, that set of meditation filters, then you're not allowed to think on it. Fear and anything outside the blessing of God is unacceptable meditation. And we have to become experts on recognizing oppression over our lives. But if you don't ever want to get to the point of oppression on your life, oppression, first become a filter of what's acceptable to think about. Because if you can shut down thoughts of fear at their onset, if you learn to step in your righteousness and shut down meditations of failure, meditations of lack, meditations of falling short, and you control your meditation to the point you never step into fear, oppression can never enter your life. Do I need to say that again? If we can learn to filter what we think and never meditate failure, never meditate sin mentality, never meditate coming up short of the glory, never meditate letting God down. If we can get where we refuse thoughts of fear, well, the open door to oppression is fear. "You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear." It's a whole lot better never to have oppression than to have to get rid of oppression. Now, you'll learn how to fight oppression because you failed at fighting off fear. But God's training us in these end times to go way beyond just learning how to reject oppression, but to reject fear to begin with. To meditate and think in terms of, what does the Word say? What does the Word promise? What does the Word offer? Am I going too far out there for you tonight? And refuse worry in any form. And if you can refuse worry, you'll fight off oppression. And if you fight off oppression, you will never step into condemnation. Amen. By controlling your mind to refuse to fear. Not just the adrenaline rush. If it was just resisting fear, then you could just live on Valium. Amen. Live drunk, never have to fear again. Drunks don't fear anything. Amen. It is too pickled to fear anything. I'll fight them. Pastor Callahan told the story about the guy that ended up in heaven. And he's being interviewed in heaven about why he should get in, or, you know, what his rewards would be. And they said to him, did you ever do anything notable while on earth? He said, well, once I came upon a gang of bikers and they were abusing a woman. So I stepped in and to rescue her. And the first thing I did is I jerked the nose ring out of the leader's nose, knocked him down, put my foot on his chest. And I said, if anybody else moves, I'm going to kill all of you. And of course, the angel said, that's impressive. How long ago did that happen? He said, about 5 minutes. Amen. That's being fearless. Amen. I'm not saying take on the biker gang until your faith is at a high enough level. Are you following me? But you learn to not entertain worry about the word not working, about your blessing not coming. We've all had to fight the thing. Well, the blessing's not coming to me. I've been tithing. I've been sowing seed. I haven't seen any reward. It seems like everything goes wrong for me. That is worry. That is fear. And it opens the door to oppression and then condemnation. And you got to shut that stuff down. Just shut it down. Why? Because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're far from that when you recognize who you are. Do you think Jesus ever feared anything on earth? I mean, a man can walk on water. They try to stone him and he walks right through him. You throw him off the cliff, he walks right through him. They couldn't kill him until it was time. He didn't walk in any fear. I'm sure it would try to hit him, but he'd say, no, I'm not receiving you. I'm the Son of God. Amen. Well, guess what? So are we. We are sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have a right to walk in the same fear, freedom from fear that He walked in. Verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in condemnation, in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. When you recognize God has imparted unto you righteousness, you can live free of condemnation. Amen. And when you do, you will recognize no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You have the same right to walk on water Jesus did. You know why you don't? Because you're afraid you'll sink. Fear. You have the same right to speak to the winds and tell it, peace be still. Of course, we've all tried that one, right? Amen. And maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. But if it didn't work, it's because you were in fear that it wouldn't. If faith was fully in operation, it'd stop. Because faith is a law. It always works. And we've got to recognize when we get a hold of the revelation of our righteousness, we can walk with the mentality, nothing can hurt me. When you're charged up in the Spirit, when you've been before God and you've meditated righteousness, you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can walk, you'll walk with a mentality nothing will hurt you. When your tank gets empty, your tank's low, all of a sudden you'll be in fear of whatever's going to happen to you. We have a right to stay filled, stay fueled, and walk fear and condemnation free. Job chapter 27. I want you to be boosted tonight in righteousness revelation. We're talking about you. Repeat after me. I'm righteous. I'm a new creation. I've been liberated from sin. Condemnation has no right to my life. I refuse fear. In Jesus' name. Job chapter 27, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, one that changed my life. This one of my, I mean, I would put this in my top five scriptures that have changed my life. Top 10 anyway. Verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. I'm holding on to it. I'm not letting it go. My heart shall not reproach me. In other words, condemn me so long as I live. I want to think of the best example I can for this. But let's say that you were believing God for a brand new car. Amen? And somebody comes up and hands you the keys to this brand new car. Electric start, I'm talking about, electronic start, all these other things, you know. And they hand you the keys. And other people are trying to take it from you. You're going to hold on to those keys because it represents what you possess. If you've ever been to the ball game or seen the ball games on TV where some major home run's being hit, the game-winning home run, the record-breaking home run, and they were already saying, whoever gets this ball, it's worth millions. When that home run was hit, the one that grabbed that ball, everybody's trying to take it from him. He latched on that, recognizing this represents a whole lot of increase into my life. It wasn't because he just was glad to catch a ball. This meant money. And even though everybody's trying to get the ball from him, he's got a hold of that thing, not going to let it go. That's how you treat your righteousness. Because God has given you a gift worth a whole lot more than any baseball. It's a gift that represents you can live oppression free, fear free, condemnation free, sickness free, lack free. All your rights are tied up in your righteousness that God granted you at salvation. And you got to get a hold of the revelation that it belongs to me and I will not let it go. So you say, my righteousness, I'm treating it like that ball. I latch a hold of it. This is my victory here. And I refuse to let go of this thing. I hold it fast because this represents every victory I'll ever see in the rest of my life. And you stand on that gift that God gave you. And then once you stand on it, once you say, I'm not letting it go, use it to resist oppression. Use it to resist condemnation, to resist fear. See, I've trained myself, and I'm sure many of you have as well. When oppression hits me, I don't think oppression, you get away from me. I think I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Now oppression, you have no right to be here. Anytime I'm fighting lack, anytime I'm fighting sickness, anytime I'm fighting worry or condemnation, I always have learned, because I learned this several years back, to revert to my right standing with God, my position of righteousness. My first thought of sickness is not, well, I'm healed by the stripes. My first thought regarding sickness is it doesn't belong to me. I'm the righteous of God. Do you follow me? When I'm fighting any attack of the enemy, I always revert back to this verse and say, my righteousness, I hold fast, I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. That means I don't have to receive of this curse. I resist the curse by my right standing with God. This curse has no more right to my life than the curse had a right to Jesus' life. See, I want to get you to the point your kickback position under any attack is always your right standing. Is always your righteousness application through the cross. That when they judge you as unworthy, they're judging the blood as unworthy. They're judging the resurrection as unworthy. They're really judging Jesus as unworthy as the Savior to judge you. To bring any kind of attack on your life is to say they could have done it to Jesus if you know who you are. And you refuse to bow to that. And you make your right standing with God, your righteous nature, your fallback position for every victory. Every victory I obtain through the Word, through Jesus, my foundation block of being established is always understanding my righteousness. In righteousness, you'll be established. You'll be unmovable. You'll be undefeatable if you understand that. So you always position yourself primarily on the position that Jesus made me worthy. He made me righteous. He gave me rights of the kingdom. And everything I entertain has to come against that immovable foundation position. And you stand on your righteousness with God. Are y'all catching this tonight? See, we're always trying a lot of times to fight the attacks of the enemy with the word. Here comes sickness, well, by his stripes I'm healed. I mean, that's true. Here comes lack, well, he blesses my bread and my water, takes sickness far from the midst of me. Amen. He brings me the hundredfold. But all of those are predicated, all of those require, if they're going to work, require on you knowing you're the righteousness of God. Let's say for a second that I need a chair. That you understand you have a right to the blessings of God. But all the blessings of God are predicated on knowing you have rights to the kingdom. And we'll say that on this chair represents you standing in your righteousness. Up here represents you knowing who you are. Up here standing in your spiritual position of being above sin, made without sin. Amen. Up here you understand you have a right to living without sickness, living without lack, living without anxiety, living without fear. Down here, even though you're born again, you're not in position to receive of these blessings. You're not in a position down here to receive healing. Because even though you're confessing healing in your life, condemnation is going to steal it from you. Even though you're believing for the hundredfold on your seed and blessing on your tithe, down here, because you don't know who you are, the enemy's going to bring condemnation and tell you that you don't deserve it. So to step into the blessing of God, you got to first declare, my righteousness, I hold fast, I shall not let it go. My heart is not going to entertain any condemnation so long as I live. It'll not reproach me, no condemnation. And you step in and say, okay, now I'm ready to confess the promise. Now by His stripes I was healed. Now my seed produces a hundredfold. Now I access joy and peace and all the fruit of the Spirit. Righteousness becomes your foundation to receive of the blessing of God. We've got so many people that are trying to use righteousness as an excuse to be able to sin freely. No, it was never meant to be your excuse to sin freely. It was meant to be your position of exaltation to receive freely. Amen. And in that position, then you can stand in position to receive of the blessing of God. But you have to guard it. You have to protect it. You've got to say, I hold it fast. I'm telling you, if I got that $1 million baseball in my hand, they're going to work to grip, pry it out of my grip. And I found out no devil in hell has that power to pull righteousness out of my grip. If I'll stand on the word. What an awesome God we serve. Did you get anything out of this?